Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here. And it's Happy Chinese New Year, right? Yes. I trust that you have had a wonderful time with your family during the festival. Now, please turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1, the passage we just read. If you have not already, open your Bible with your cell phone or whatever. Okay, so this morning we're going to consider this topic, when life is difficult. When life is difficult. Now, life is hard. I trust most of us know that life is hard, and oftentimes life is difficult. We think of those unresolved health issues of our loved ones. We think of the impact of the economic hard time on us, and we think of the difficulties in our relationship with someone that we care. Then there are also challenges in our at work and in church and or in our various ministries or tasks. You know. So what do we do when life is hard, when life discouragements, how do we face them? Now, usually there are four ways of dealing with life discouragements that most people choose to do. First is to give in to them. Give in to them. Let them overwhelm you. Let them eat you up from inside. Let you help make you focus on them until you become a very negative oriented person. Many people choose that option. And in fact, there's a great temptation to give in to fear and discouragement. And then there's a second option, is to deny the problem, denying the trouble, denying those difficulties. Some people tend to minimize the problems that they encountering. The third option is to become angry, become bitter. We have seen a lot. When life is hard, some of us will deny, will withdraw, or even quit. And while some may switch to attack mode, becoming negative, to complain, to become angry and bitter. Yet there are others who will be energized by such challenges and find ways to overcome. Now today we'll study 2 Timothy chapter 1, the first 7 verses. I want to unpack these verses from a different perspective, from a different angle, addressing this question of when life is hard, what do we do? Now, 2 Timothy, this is a very personal letter from Apostle Paul to his spiritual son, Timothy. It was written in the context of a very dark situation. Paul was in prison because of his faith and waiting for his name called to be executed. Can you imagine living in such kind of anticipation? You know? Now, Timothy was also in trouble in ministry. He was considered young in the Ephesian church where he was serving. Believers, brothers and sisters in the church and all over the region were persecuted by Roman Empire, and there were problems in his church. He faced opposition in his church. Now this may have affected his health badly. Now, Timothy was a very shy, timid minister. He was what we call introvert and a quiet person. The flame, the passion of both his ministry and his ministry position had dimmed. It has lost its glow. Now, do you ever feel this low and discouraged at some point in your life or even now? Or you have always been upbeat about everything in life? Now, Apostle Paul's letter to Timothy is for those who feel discouraged and overwhelmed by difficulties in life and in ministry. So today in this letter, we want to discover how we can overcome difficulties in life, where to find encouragement, and how can we help and encourage each other in the family of God. So when life is difficult, what are we to do? Where do we find encouragement? There are three things we want to consider today, this morning. First is, when life is hard, find new perspective. And second, when life is hard, find trusted relationship. And thirdly, when life is hard, find encouragement in your responsibilities. Now that's the outline. That's the three main areas that we're going to consider. So let's look at each of them. When life is difficult, first of all, find new perspective. Find encouragement in divine, God's perspective. Now, in all of Apostle Paul's letter, he begins with salutation, greetings. Same as here in verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that's in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Paul introduced himself here, calling himself to be apostle by the will of God. Therefore, these encouraging words are from God and not from human wisdom. When facing life challenges, we are to approach them from God's, the divine perspective, because proper encouragement begins with God above. Encouragement is based on a proper worldview, from a divine perspective of what life is. If we miss this, we will simply, just like many unbelievers, go into one of those positive thinkers, gurus, and get advice from them. But what makes us Christians unique are the words, notice, by the will of God. So let's pause and ask, what is the will of God? In our present day culture, is the good life. To many of us, good life in meaning is worry-free, pain-free, right? As Christians, we even subtly feel that God's will is to help us achieve a life with little or no hardships. However, in our reading of the scriptures, we get a very different picture. What is the will of God? Look at what the prophet Micah said. The prophet said, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Then there is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." Then there is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all you do." And let's not forget what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, saying, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is what? God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And then in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, we remember the Apostle Paul cautioned us, encouraged us, saying, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." And then we remember our Lord Jesus. He said to the disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." See? So what does it mean to us in times of discouragement? What does it mean when we find ourselves or our loved ones in illness, in prolonged sickness, or in difficult situations. We are to remember what God wants of us is to do justice, to be kind, be holy, and walk humbly before Him. God wants us to rejoice, to trust Him, to pray continually, and give thanks in all situations. God wants us to persevere when going through many hardships, taking up a cross to follow Christ, our Savior. It's like the prayer that we often use or pray, O Lord, when I'm sick or when I face adversities in life, I pray that you will help me not to sin against you in words and deeds. So even though we find ourselves under pressure of difficult situations or when people may not like us or cooperate with us, when there seems to be no end to our problems, we remember that God wants us to be holy, to do justice, and walk humbly with Him. He wants us to love Him, to trust Him, to love each other, and to give, and to forgive our enemies. This is difficult, right? And for all these reasons, we need God's grace, mercy, and peace. When life is difficult, we can complain all we want. We can blame people, but does it help? Does it make us feel better? It doesn't, right? It does make us more angry and more depressed. So when life is difficult, we need to get a different perspective, God's perspective. It helps us to gain a new angle to see our life, to understand God's will, and we can see something we didn't see before. I remember now we know all difficulties eventually will pass. That's why you're here today still. Me too, right? But the remaining question is what kind of person we will come out to be. Will we come out to be as people with bitterness and anger and lots of negativity, or as very unhappy people, or we come out as better people, becoming more like David, a man after God's own heart, right? Which in Acts 13, chapter 22, it was testified that God testified concerning David, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. You know? Be a man, a woman, that's after God's own heart. To have more faith in God, more compassion in people, and a deeper understanding of those who are less fortunate than us. When life is difficult, stop and think. I think it's a great time to gain clarity and vision, a better vision about life. It's a great opportunity for us in times of difficulty to reflect on our life again. That's what we should do. Stop and think, consider and reflect. That's the advice of the author of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7, verse 14. He said, on the day of prosperity, be happy, be joyful, enjoy. But on the days of adversity, stop and think, reflect, consider. Find new perspective. Be a greater, better person, a man, a woman after God's own heart. On this, 1 Peter chapter 1, 21, saying, your faith and hope are set on God. Okay? We realize how important it is to have faith and hope through life difficulties. Often we don't choose life problems, they just come without our invitation or permission, right? Such as we're experiencing now with our country and with the world, or what we experienced during COVID, the pandemic, remember? It just came to us, giving us no choice to choose. We couldn't imagine that the whole city, even the whole world, would be locked up like that, right? During the pandemic, and we will have worship service through computer, you know, YouTube. It's a surreal experience, but it just came. But faith and hope kept us, kept me and you from insanity, kept us all from going crazy, right? In ordinary time, we didn't see really the practical aspects of faith and hope. But when we went through difficult times, we realized how practical, how important faith and hope are. Before they were just words, but now it's important for us to keep ourselves strong. Without hope and faith, it's hard to survive with a positive attitude. You know? So it's very important to see every situation with the attitude, the prayerful attitude of faith and hope, and rest ourselves with that in God. And telling ourselves, God will keep us safe. God will show us the way out. God will give us strength to endure. So when you live your life with this kind of attitude, from God's perspective, with godly attitude, faith and hope will slowly be cultivated, stored up within you. It will become a reality within us, and you'll become stronger, and you'll have the strength to overcome your difficulties and come out you a better person, a man and woman after God's own heart. Now, secondly, when life is hard, difficult, find encouragement not only in God's perspective, but in trusted relationship. Okay? Now, in verses 3 to 5, Apostle Paul here said, I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayer, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Now, how did Paul try to encourage Timothy? Paul, in this long sentence, called Timothy's attention to find encouragement in three relationships: with God, with family, and with friends. First, he reminded Timothy of his relationship with God. Paul began with himself. He said, I was in prison, and not because I'm a criminal, but because I'm serving God with a clear conscience. And then Paul mentioned Timothy's sincere faith in verse 5. We ask, what is faith? Faith is believing in God who cares and rules over us. When facing problems and difficulties, we easily fall back to our old habit, react or fall back to our old, most familiar behavior and addiction or attitude, and we start to blame people, blaming God or ourselves or everybody in sight. Some people may be bitter, resentful, and bring about discouragement, and we may indulge ourselves in self-pity and withdraw, or do the opposite by switching to attack mode. But wait, where is the true God you worship? We remember God, but we want him to intervene, swing his magic wand and take all our troubles away. But does this sound like temptations that Satan threw at Jesus? Satan said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, you can change the stone into bread, right? Satan tempted Jesus saying, you can jump down from the height and you will not get hurt. Just like what the Christian writer Philip Yancey wrote, when we ask God to intervene in a dramatic way, it remotely smells like the temptations hurled at Jesus. So the insight is, when life is difficult, do not give in to temptation. Refuse temptation. The faith we have to remember is the faith that believing in God is sovereign over our lives. Not only he's sovereign, he's controlling, he's in control of all the events in life, including up and downs, pleasant, unpleasant, bad and good ones. There are times he will intervene, but most likely he will quietly use those circumstances to mold us, to shape us in the Christ likeness, because that is his goal, to call us and to change us, to conform us to the likeness of Christ Jesus, his son. Now, we are familiar with the story of Joni Erickson, right? She was a quadriplegic since her teenage days. And she has been fighting cancer. And she wrote that she had learned that instead of asking, God, if you are really God, why don't you intervene? She said, instead, we may need to ask, Lord, it's difficult. What do you want me to learn and become because of these difficulties? One of her famous quotations people note down is that she said, I would rather be in this wheelchair knowing God than on my feet without him. How about take Joni's perspective? In times of discouragement, it's good to remember our God is our rock, is our shield, our shelter, our fortress, our strength. This is our faith, because proper encouragement begins with God. And secondly, Paul reminds Timothy of his relationship with his family. Paul reminds Timothy of how his family had influenced him. There was his grandmother, Lois, then his mother, Eunice. Timothy's grandmother and mother were instrumental in building up the foundational faith and strength in Timothy's life. I think of a young minister who was experiencing great challenges in ministry. He was disappointed and depressed. When asked how his parents would see his situation, he said they were very supportive and very encouraging. My mother too. She is 93 now. Every day, every morning, every evening, she prayed for me, for my children, for my family, and for my ministry. Every day, she would kneel before God and pray for my ministry. We have to thank God for our parents. However, many of us may feel we don't have such great support from family. Sometimes parents will say, see, I told you not to go to church, go to ministry, or take up the position, or be so busy, you wouldn't listen to me. Now you are at the mess you are in. Now, they will make, such parents will make a bad situation even worse, right? But don't despair, because for here is a third thing that Paul like to remind Timothy. Paul reminds Timothy of his relationship with trusted friend. Let's take a look at Paul's word. Remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you. I may be filled with joy when I see you again. I'm reminded of your faith. No? These are words revealing an intimate relationship and close friendship, right? Timothy may have been feeling lonely, just as Paul was feeling lonely in prison and longing to meet, to see Timothy again. Paul wanted Timothy to remember the close relationships, a friendship they had. Now, isn't this also true with us? When discouraged and disappointed, we need a friend to come close. To come close and sit beside us and listen. Right? They may not give us any solutions, but they can be there listening, just listening to us. I feel sad when individuals, brothers and sisters, or share with me they have no friend in their church when they're in trouble. I feel sad about hearing that. They said they feel lonely in times of trouble in the church with many people. That's a terrible feeling. It's my prayer and desire that each of us will ask of God to help us to be a trusted friend to someone and pray that God will bring a lonely, troubled person into your life. And like Apostle Paul, encourage him or her. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It's not on the PowerPoint, but let me read out to you. Love one another deeply from the heart. Through life difficulties, we realize how important it is to love one another. Simply words of kindness, warm greetings, considerate gestures, all these things become so important. When life is hard, we can see a lot of people on an edge. We need more kindness, more understanding, more forgiveness, and more giving. We all need to work for each other and help each other. This is how we're supposed to live, right? But nowadays, we're so indifferent in modern life. You know, but we realize we do not live on food alone. We live on love, brotherly love. You know, when we have all these things, faith, hope, and love, the three pillars of life, our life to build on, then when these are abundant within our heart, then we become abundant with blessings from above. Then our heart will fill with thankfulness, with joy and the peace the world cannot give. These are the blessings God wants to grant to us during difficult times. So recap, when life is difficult, what do we do? Where do we find encouragement? One, from divine perspective, in the will of God. Second, from trusted relationship with God, with family, with trusted friends. And then one more thing, lastly. When life is difficult, find encouragement in entrusted with responsibilities. Okay? Now we come to verses 6 to 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. A famous psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Carl Menninger, once gave a lecture on mental health, and he was answering questions from the audience. And someone asked him, what would you advise a person to do if that person felt a nervous breakdown coming on? Most people thought that he would say, go see a psychiatrist immediately. But he did not. He said to the audience, astonishment, lock up your house, go across the railway tracks, find somebody in need, and help that person. Go across the street, see anybody is in need of help, offer their help. What he meant was, don't focus on yourself so much. Get involved in the life of other people, because proper encouragement is found with responsibility. How did Paul encourage his good friend and spiritual son, Timothy? Paul mentioned a moment in Timothy's ministry. It appeared to be at the beginning. It was the moment that Timothy received certain spiritual gifts from God. At that time, Timothy was all fired up, very passionate. And by the time Paul wrote this letter, the passion and the fire all had dimmed within Timothy's heart. So Paul asked Timothy to remember his calling, to remember this occasion and dust off the ashes so it will burn brightly again. Paul was reminding Timothy of the charge, of the entrusted responsibility, of the duty given to him years ago when he first started his service, journey of ministry. This makes me think of leaders, elders, deacons, group leaders. When you started out your term, when you were publicly, you know, pray for or quote-unquote install at the beginning of each year, or each term, you agree to faithfully perform all the duties entrusted to you, right? To serve and to lead this congregation, to build up this church by being examples for them, right? And to strive for purity, for peace, for unity, for edification. And along with the pastors, we also remember we have also agreed to serve this congregation with love and a sincere and a shepherd heart, right? Some of us also remember the excitement when we first served as a leader, as someone in the team, right? Or in the committee. I remember that when I served in this church. I remember that When I first ordained, I was charged to become a preacher of the word. My professor during the seminary time also reminded me that people will hear God's word but not listen to God's word. So there are good times, there are bad times when I discharge my sacred responsibility. But in difficult moments, you and I are to remember this. The moment that God entrusts to those responsibility to us, with trust, right? Paul did not really tell Timothy how to dust off, how to renew, revive, restore, but if we follow this trend of thoughts, we realize something very clear. In our disappointment, in our discouragement, we turn to God, we turn to friends, we turn to family, we turn to our calling, to turn to our responsibilities. And then we find we are beginning to climb out of the from the condition. Because Paul continued to go on to give Timothy the reason for such a dust off the ashes. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and control. He's telling Timothy, don't be shy, don't be timid, don't be afraid, Timothy. Why? Because the Spirit is in you. It's not timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. Power, we may say, I have no interest in power. But don't you want people to listen to you, to follow God? Don't you feel frustrated when they don't? We actually want that. Spiritual influence, so people can follow us to follow God, right? But with power alone, it's dangerous because it's my way or highway, that kind of attitude. And we heard this word, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Then there's also love. If it is love alone, it can be sentimentalism, right? It can be love without boundary or without principle. So there's also self-discipline, self-control. But with self-control alone, we can be cold. Things must be done in a certain way. For this reason, Paul reminds Timothy and us that we are to carry out our responsibility with a great balance of power, love, and self-control. It will help us to endure and stand up against adversity. Okay? To love those who may not like us. Exercise control over our negative emotion and unhealthy behavior. Now, in conclusion, in these verses, Paul reminds Timothy and us that when we feel discouraged about life, about ministry, about relationship, we have to go back to the basics. Above all else, go back to God and look at life from God's perspective. We are to reveal our relationships with people around us. Remember, lastly, what it was like when we first start out our journey. When we first start out to follow Christ in ministry. Are we being intimidated by opposition or difficult situations? Don't let this scare us. Life is difficult for a reason. And God has given us a spirit of what? Power, love, and self-control. Okay? Christ, because time. God desires to face our problems. Don't give in. Don't ignore. Face it with faith and don't try to overcome it alone. Christ has already won the battle. He's a resurrected Christ. He has his people and is presently helping you to win your battle with discouragement. We can be overcomers if we will face the battle honestly, faithfully, without giving up on the powerful help of God. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Holy Spirit, impress upon our hearts the precious word of God from above. So that we can be strong and be faithful. Lord, be with us and bless every soul. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Shall we follow with communion?